All right, we're going to go ahead and get started tonight, I think, as we've got a small crowd, still people coming in. A lot of people are sick, and Susan Blevins and Brother Joe are sick. Kelly Richardson family are sick. She texted me. I don't know if you knew about that, Martha, or not, but she just had the whole family. She said she was sick. And well, we got the folk on the cruise, all that kind of stuff, and I hope they're not sick. But it's a lot of people out tonight. We do have a couple of visitors tonight, and we're so glad that they've come here. And God bless you all for being here tonight. We thank you for coming. There are members over at Sunrise. They're not having church at Sunrise tonight, so they said, we're going to church somewhere. And I'm real glad they came here, aren't you? That's wonderful. And we're just so glad they're here. But most of all, we're glad you're here. But most of all of that, we're glad Jesus is here. And that's the best thing. So good to have Sister Tina back. She's been not feeling too good on Sunday. And so just pray one for another and go and preach about prayer in a little bit. And maybe it'll be a help to all of us, okay? But right now, Brother Tim, why don't we go ahead and have a word of prayer right now, okay? And I think that would be in order. And so let's pray. Father, we come to thank you tonight for the privilege to be at church. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, sincerely for those who could not be here tonight. Many wanted to be here but could not for sickness, and others are traveling and things like that, folk on the cruise. We pray that you'd take care of everybody here and not here, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll bless our worship and fellowship time tonight. Bless every song, special song, and all of us as we gather together to worship you in spirit and truth. And we'll love you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, number 285. Everybody knows these. I picked out some easy songs tonight, so let's stand and we'll sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Number 285. Let's get started. All right, sing out now. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms, what a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting.
That song is one of our staple songs in the nursing home ministry. I like that third verse. It asks a couple of questions. I wonder how often we really pay attention to the words of a good hymn while we're singing. That third verse says, what have I to dread? And I'll kind of ask the folk at the nursing home, what do you have to dread? And almost inevitably they'll say, well, nothing. What have I to fear? And they'll say, nothing. That's right. As long as what? They're leaning on the everlasting arms. So good to be able to sing that good song. All right, we mentioned several people sick tonight, and you pray for those. And Pastor Miss Judy and Brian and Bethany and Shelton and Brenda and Jake on that cruise. So I hope they make it back on Saturday. And so they'll be here Sunday. and then pray one for another and all of that. By way of announcement, I think the ladies are meeting Saturday morning. Is that right, Miss Gail? Oh, never mind. I wasn't supposed to say anything. Well, there you go. So I didn't say anything, did I? All right. But I know church on Sunday morning at 9:30. Look, we've had a good time in the prayer room at 9 o'clock, and hope y'all can, men, young men, can come to the prayer room at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, and then Sunday school at 9:30 and church at 10:30. Looking forward to that this coming Sunday, okay? And I don't know if there's any other announcements, anything, I guess, just be here for church. Yes, ma'am. Pray for John, yes. Okay. So pray for Brother John Richardson, and he's a fine young man, and we sure love and appreciate him. So pray for Brother John. Maybe somebody's got another real special prayer request you'd like people to know. Miss Pat? Okay. All right, so pray for these two that Pat works with. That's good. Yes, Miss Judy? Yeah, okay. That's tomorrow? Okay, all right. Pray for Brother Sonny. Somebody else? Prayer request? Yes, sir. My goodness. Okay. Pray for Brother Aaron Martin. Do that. Wish you would. Yes, sir, Dante. Okay. Okay. Pray for Dante's teacher's family, right? All right. Anybody else? All right. Oh, Brandon, good to see you. Hope you're feeling better. And Renee's still sick. Okay. But that time of year, isn't it? And so let's just, like I said, pray one for another. And if you're missing somebody, give them a call. And I don't know, you're praying for them. Nowadays, you can text. And that way, you don't have to bother them by talking to them. And I like that thing about the family get together and all these kids around the big table texting on their phone and texting to other people sitting at the table. I don't know about all that. But so pray one for all these good needs, okay? Really wish you would. All right, Brother Tim, let's have another song, okay?
413, another one you like and you know, Love Lifted Me. Everybody stand, 413, and we'll sing the first and last stanzas of this one. 413. Okay. Out now. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me.
I almost forgot to take the offering tonight. Can y'all, the treasurer forgetting the offering, that's just bad. But I think we got the live stream going. Who got that? Oh, Rick is here. Good. Haley. The fellas, you come on up here and let's take up that offering tonight. If you didn't already know, if whatever you turn in on Wednesday night that's unmarked, it goes right to missions. Of course, many folk turn in their mission offering, the faith promise on Wednesday night, and tithe offering if you want to. It don't matter. If you want a record of it, you're going to have to put an envelope, put your name on it, okay? So be sure you do that. That's a good thing to do. But let's bow for prayer. Why can't you pray for this offering? Amen.
Before Brother Steve comes tonight, we're glad to have the Martins with us now, and Sister Lenora is coming to sing for us. Sequence of that song, and that's a good song, okay, an old song. Get your Bibles ready. Listen now as Brother Steve comes.
Thank you, Brother Tim. I want you to take your Bible tonight, and we've got a Bible message, so I think that's the best. So I hope you enjoy Bible. I know you do. But turn with me to Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter 12, and I'm going to have you turn to several verses of Scripture tonight. We go, and if you can, and you will. Acts chapter number 12. In the midst of chapter 12, we find, I think, one of the most exciting events to take place in the early church. And if you'll look with me at Acts chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." And church back then was the same as the church right now tonight. It's not the building, not the steeple, not the pew, not the chair, not the baptistry. What's the church? Yeah, the people. And so when he says he vexed certain of the church, it means of a surety that there was great persecution against the people of God. And he killed, you can't do any worse than that, can you? And he killed James, brother of John, with the sword. And there's one of the early martyrs of the church. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And I want you to know, he intended to kill Peter too. Look at verse 4. "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him." He had the half of the army there to just to guard Peter, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now look at verse 5. "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison." I want to focus on the next phrase in verse number 5. But the Bible says, "But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." And we'll come back to that in a moment. In verse 6, "And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains." Can you picture that? He's in prison, sleeping. I would think if I was in prison, knowing that when daybreak came, I was going to probably die. I don't know if I'd be sleeping or not, but Peter was sleeping. But not only was he sleeping, he was in between two soldiers bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. He was well secured, wasn't he? Well, not really, as you're going to find out. And in verse 7, this is the last verse we'll read of Acts 12. "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side." I can kind of picture that too. Here's Peter sleeping. I don't know if he was snoring or just sleep. I don't know. All of a sudden, the angel of the Lord smote him. "Wake up, Peter, wake up." You know, smote him on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. That's amazing, isn't it? We're not going to read the rest of the story, but you know it well. He went to where the church was meeting, and you know that he knocked on the door, and the young lady there, she came, and she knew his voice, but I mean, I don't think she hardly believed it was really Peter. And you know, I mean, God answered their prayer, and they couldn't hardly believe that God would answer the prayer. I want you to focus again at verse number 5, where it says, "But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." I want to preach for a few moments tonight, just a little bit, on this thought, prayer of the church. Now, Wednesday nights, we call it prayer meeting. And we do. We find an opportunity at the end of our service tonight, on Wednesday night, to gather around the altar and pray. But listen, I hope you've already prayed today and yesterday and the day before. Prayer is not just for prayer meeting. A Christian, prayer is our life, isn't it? And it must be. It needs to be. I want to give you three little points, and then each point at the funeral yesterday for Dr. Buzzy Robertson, we were all reminded how a great job he did at alliterating scriptures. And he would have messages that would have 125 points. Can you imagine that? And during the funeral yesterday, a couple of them fellas preached some long sermons like that. And I'm just funning with you. But I've got some alliteration I want to use, I think will be a help to help you remember some of this as we go along in our passage tonight. Again, the message tonight, the prayer of the church. First of all, I want us to see the promise of prayer to the church. Promise of prayer to the church. Secondly, tonight we're going to look at the prosperity of prayer for the church. And then thirdly, problems of prayer by the church. Hopefully tonight we can glean something from that that'll help us better understand the importance of the prayer of the church. Well, first of all, the promise of prayer to the church, I do want you to turn to this passage in Matthew chapter 7. So turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I didn't put on the wireless, but y'all can hear me okay, can't you? Can you? All right, good. Can you hear me okay on the live stream? I'm sure they can. Can you hear me, Rick? Testing, 1, 2. You can? Okay. All right. Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. I'll stay right behind the mic here. Ask. What is asking? Praying, isn't it? All right. Ask, and it shall be given you. That's a promise, isn't it? Seek, and you shall find. That's a good promise, isn't it? Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That's a good promise. Look at verse number 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. What a promise. Promise of prayer. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Just can't do better than that, can you? The promise of prayer to the church. When I was a young Christian, I used to like to hit the road and go hear a lot of preachers preach. And when I was single, my pockets did jingle. And I'd hit the road and we'd go all over the place hearing good men of God preach. One of the fellows I enjoyed traveling to go hear preach was Brother Sammy Allen. Y'all remember Brother Sammy Allen? He's still at it. I mean, he's still going strong. He's a lot older now, of course. But Brother Allen would have a way of memorizing scripture, didn't he? And he'd be up there and he'd go, you know. I went to hear him at a camp and he kept doing that over and over again and it gave me a headache. And of course I got one now after doing that. But Brother Allen had a way of just memorizing the Bible. I was thinking, I'm going to read you a few verses of scripture. If I were Sammy Allen, I'd just be able to quote them. But what I want to emphasize on this is the familiarity of all of these verses to you. Perhaps we could almost quote them from memory. Let me just give you a few of these. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Again, we're talking about the promise of prayer to the church. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And the Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Good promise. And then in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, how many things is anything? If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Then in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and the Bible says, and ye shall have them. Talking about the promise of prayer to the church. Then in Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, all that call upon Him in truth. And then in Hebrews 4:16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Then the Bible says in Matthew 6:6, thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Talking about the promise of prayer to the church. In Psalm 18:6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. In 1 John 5:15, and if we know that He hear us, and we do, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. In James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. And I love this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman availeth much. Then in John 14:13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. I'm talking about the promise a prayer to the church. Hey, it's a great promise, isn't it? It's a promise that if we'll just pray, there's some conditions that we'll see in a few moments. If we'll just pray, not only will God hear, but God will answer that prayer. Are you praying like you ought to? Let me say, are we praying like we ought to? Are we? Well, that's the promise of prayer to the church. Number two, I want to talk to you for a moment about the prosperity of prayer for the church. In Jeremiah chapter 33, they're in the Old Testament. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 33. You could probably quote this verse of Scripture. Jeremiah 33, verse number 3. You know this verse, don't you? Come to me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isn't that wonderful? That's just fabulous. Listen, I call this the prosperity of prayer, the church. Now, thinking about Dr. Buzzy Robertson and his alliteration, I wrote down this, and let me see if what you might get out of this. A praying church. Look, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about us. And look, when I say the church, I'm not just saying you or you. I'm talking about all of us together, Christ. And I'm glad, sisters, that we can be a praying church. You folk at Sunrise can be a praying church. Church ought to be a praying church. So here's the prosperity of the church. Praying church is a participating church. Praying church is a passionate church. Praying church is a patient church. Church is a peaceful church. A praying church is a peculiar church. Not every church is a praying church. Is a perfect church. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. As the word perfect is used in the New Testament, a mature, grown-up church body. Praying church is a persistent church. Church is a phenomenal church. Praying church is a praising church. Praying church is a productive church. And a praying church is a powerful church. The prosperity of a prayer in the church. Now look, I wrote down a few of these, and you could probably add a lot more to this. Church, I'm talking about Anchor Baptist Church. If you go to another church, plug in your church in there. If the church would just pray, again, I'm not talking about one or two people in the church. I'm talking about the church, all of us. If the church would just pray, the burden for souls would be magnified, wouldn't it? If the church would just pray, tracts would be easier to give out. If the church would just pray, I'm telling you, sinners will be saved. If the church would just pray, empty chairs, even on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, would be filled up. If the church would just pray, mission support would grow beyond you what just couldn't believe. If the church would just pray, listen, hearts would be changed. If the church would just pray, troubles and trials would pass away. The church would just pray. Storms of life would be all right and we'd make it to the other side. If the church would just pray, people would be healed. The church would just pray, people would be blessed. The church would just pray, when we get to church, we'd really worship, wouldn't we? The church would just pray, and you can go on and on and on and on. I thought this, things that characterize churches. Look, I'm real glad we are a giving church. I'm glad we're a singing church. I'm glad we're a praising church. I'm glad we're a tract-giving church. I'm glad we're a witnessing church. I'm glad we're just a great church, and there are a lot of great churches. I'm glad we're one of them. I thought about this, Brother Tim, that maybe the greatest honor or the greatest testimony of any church would be that it's a praying church. What if people out there in Columbia, when the name Anchor Baptist Church is mentioned, what if the first thing that came to people's mind is, that's a praying church? I can't think of anything greater that could be said about a people of God, about a church, that we're a praying church. I'll be honest with you, I got a long way to go until I can be the right part of a praying church. I need to do a better job at it. I'm probably looking at some other folks that do too. The prosperity for the church. I'm thankful that if people will just pray, Look, I've been praying for something specific for a long time about our church and about God, somebody, God touching somebody's heart. It could be somebody sitting in this building or some unknown person somewhere in this world. Somebody would get a burden of the Lord to give our church enough money to pay off our debt. But God's able to do that, isn't he? I've been praying that way. But you know what? If a couple other people will pray that prayer, isn't there a verse in the Bible that if any two of you shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done unto you? Will you help me pray about that? Will you help me to pray that God will use Anchor Baptist Church? Listen, will you help me to pray that God will give our pastor power in the pulpit? Will you help me pray that God will bless the teachers in our Sunday school classes, all of them, to teach with power and knowledge of the Word of God? Would you help me to pray that our song leader, I don't have to be much better, but he could, you can be, Brother Tim, can't you? That God will just bless him and lead him to the songs we need to sing. Would you help me pray that our choir would sing even better with greater power and in the Spirit of the Lord? Would you help me to pray that God will touch people's hearts, that they'll come to an altar and get things right with God? We need to be a praying church, don't we? All that can happen, that's the prosperity of the church. All that can happen. I want to give you the third point tonight and kind of focus on this. And I want to try to help us all with this. Problems, prayer, by the church. You know what? There are some things that hinder our prayer. Did you know that? Prayer is the greatest asset a Christian has. There's no doubt about that. I want to give you about five or six things that are problems. My prayer, your prayer, our prayer, and the prayer of many churches. Number one. The number one problem with our prayer is silence. You know what? We're not praying. The Bible says in James chapter 4, in verse number 2, on page 1309 in your Schofield Reference Bible. James chapter 4, verse number 2, just the end of the verse, here's what the Bible says. You know this. Yet you have not, cause you ask not. What an indictment on the church. He's not talking about sinners there. He's talking about Christians. You have not, because you ask not. You know what? Maybe things aren't going the way they ought to because you're not even praying. Well, that's a hindrance to prayer, isn't it? Silence. Number two, another hindrance to prayer is self-gratification. There in James chapter 4 and verse number 3, the Bible says you ask and receive not. But here's some, they're asking now. But they're not receiving. Why? The Bible says because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. People pray out of self-will. What can I get for me? Send it for me. You know what? And we ought to pray for the desires of our heart and the things that we need. But you know what, church? We got to pray for others, don't we? We got to pray for one another. We got to pray for people outside the doors of this place. We got to pray for other churches, churches of like faith. They need to pray for us. Listen, if we pray out of self-gratification, and that's all we're seeking, God is not going to hear our prayer. Number three, lack of sincerity. Also in the book of James, chapter number 5, verse number 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And here's the verse. We've already quoted it. The effectual, fervent prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Those words mean the real heart, sincere prayer of a saved person avails much. Listen, I used to go to a lot of athletic events. I don't go to them now because, number one, I don't have time. Number two, I don't have the money. Number three, I don't really have the interest, hardly. Why go somewhere like that and traffic and time? We need to turn on the television and watch it from you. From your lazy boy. Well, why would anybody do that? Well, that's up between you. That's fine. But listen, I would go to these sporting events, and they would call on somebody to pray over the loudspeaker, and they would read a prayer. And you know what? I'd hear that, and I'd say, I'm not sincere about that. You know, God, I would say, is God even listening to that? Does he even know who God is? But listen, when we pray, we need to pray with sincerity in our heart. I often mention Rufus at Magnolia Manor. But Chris, you know Rufus. And we were just there this past Sunday. Rufus is, I don't know what all, stroke, paralyzed, I don't know what all's wrong with him. He can't hardly talk unless he's praying or singing. And to hear Rufus pray, it's the words mixed up and he can't understand some of them jumbled up. But you know what? I've never heard a more sincere prayer in my life than to hear Rufus pray. You know what? That blesses my heart. We should all be Rufus in our prayer. The hindrances, the problems of our prayer, silence, self-gratification, lack of sincerity. It's about the problem of an unforgiving spirit. Mark chapter number 11. Read this verse to you. Mark chapter number 11, verse number 25. The Bible says this, when you stand praying, forgive. Jesus talking now. And when you stand praying, forgive. And if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Let me read that again. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Look, if you're trying to pray with an unforgiving spirit, you just well be quiet until you can pray this prayer. Father, forgive me for having an unforgiving spirit. Business will pick up. How about this one? 1 Peter chapter 3. This is one that a lot of people don't even hardly know about. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. A hindrance, a problem with our prayer is improper relationships between husband and wife. You know that? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. I didn't make that up. You know who said that? God did. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, husbands, wives, in this journey through our Christian life, we ought to walk arm in arm together, shouldn't we, in our journey to heaven. As being heirs together of the grace of life, and here it is, that your prayers be not hindered. Get that? Listen, husband and wife are fighting and arguing and disagreeing and against each other. Where's that prayer going? I don't even know if it makes it to the ceiling or not. The prayer is hindered. Another problem. Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. Shortfall of faith. Mark 11, verse number 22. Here's what the Bible says. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall be believed that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, when what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them. The one reason our prayers don't get answered because we pray in unbelief. Yeah. How many times have I gone to an altar of prayer? Lord, please help this or help that and do this or do that. And I get up from the altar and I say, well, I bet he ain't going to do it again. I bet it won't happen. But no, it won't happen with an attitude like that. A shortfall of faith. And then two more. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 15. 1 John 5. Is that verse number 14? 1 John 5, 14 and 15. The Bible says this. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. One problem we have in our prayer is that we pray out of the will of God. I've got a little funny illustration of that. A little girl prayed, dear God, her nighttime prayer at her bedside. Dear God, bless mommy and daddy, and let El Paso be the capital of Texas. Anybody know what the capital of Texas is? Austin. Her mother asked why she should pray such a thing. She said, because that's how I answered my test today. Look, I don't think it's the will of God for El Paso to be the capital of Texas. A lot of times we pray things that just aren't God's will for our life. You know what? We'd be better off without it. It's not God's will. If we ask, believing according to His will, the Bible says, ask what you will, and you shall have. Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer, except that which lies outside of the will of God. Let me give you one more thing, and I'm done tonight. What hinders our prayer? Sin. In Isaiah chapter number 59, you know both of these verses. Isaiah 59, verse number 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short in that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. That sin in your life. Then in Psalm 66 and verse 18, Psalm 66, verse number 18, what the Bible says. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But these are problems of prayer by the church. Any of those fit you tonight? Any of those fit me? Well, listen, if we'll clean up our life, that will clean up our prayer life. It'll get us to pray more and get us closer to God like we need to be. Look, church, we need to pray. Some of you mentioned a verbal prayer request. Every one of you, me too, there's an unspoken prayer request, a great burden in our heart that we need to pray. Don't let any of these problems keep you from answered prayer. Don't let it be. If there's a need in your heart, your life tonight, there's a prayer of altar prayer. We're going to gather around it. Matter of fact, we'll just do that, Brother Tim. And for closing prayer tonight, as many as will come, why don't you just get up right now. Let's have our family prayer time here at the altar tonight. If you can't kneel at the altar, you can sit on the front here, right close up where everybody's at. It's time to pray.